I'm so glad that you are my Lord, that you are my God, that you are my Savior, that you're my healer, that you're my provider. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful and manifest presence in this service today. Thank you for the household of faith. Thank you for the sons and the daughters of God. Thank you for the call of God today. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the inspired word of God. Let it fill this house. I pray that you help me, God, to break up the fallow ground, that I'm able to receive the manna from heaven today, the seed, the incorruptible seed, the word of God. Hallelujah, that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Is he good to you? Amen. You may be seated. Our ladies' session has begun. If you'd like to participate in that, it is going on right now in the chorus room. You see where Sister Christina? Wave at us, Christina. There you go. If you're a lady and you'd like to join our ladies' session, just follow her. She'll point you in the right direction. She may be going there herself. I don't know. Are you teaching this morning? Not? Okay. All right. Well, make sure you impart into that service. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. It's good to be here in the Amen corner. In fact, I think we have a couple of Amen corners here today. A couple of Amen corners. Praise God, praise God. Beautiful day, isn't it? Beautiful day. And I try not to look too much around at the blue skies and the sunshine and the seagulls, the coast, because I get tempted to put some tackle in my pocket and sneak over to the ocean for a cast. So maybe later, maybe later. I did manage to catch 4 snook on Friday, just before I left, I said, well, I'm going to go see if all things work together for good. And so we caught 4 snook and had several that actually broke my line, but it was just a good day. Enjoyed the weather, the creation of God, even the sunset. And I like to be outside when the sun is setting, just all the beautiful colors. It's just amazing. I love to. In fact, it changes every few seconds. There's a change. There's a new color, a new shade. It's just amazing. And then that's when the thought came to me that as long as you keep your eyes on the sun, the light will never go out. Someone say, I got to stay focused on him. Amen. If I'm going to walk in the light, I've got to stay focused on him who is the light. Amen. Who lighteth every man. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll just share a little bit today, and hopefully we'll all receive something. Good to see you, Dave. Brother Dave Cook. Dave Cook. Can you grill? Grill like steaks and stuff? Hannah, you never tell me. Cook. You just think grill master. All right, all right. I'm trying to make a connection here. So I done some grilling yesterday, and I went to the store too late, obviously, because the steaks I got, there were only 2 packs left. And I cooked them, and I done a good job cooking them, But I want to tell you, it took me 30 minutes to eat one little steak because it was just so tough. So that's what happens when you wait too late. Anyway, let's go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 4, I'm going to be reading a few verses and just kind of share some things that the Lord has taught me about Christian life, Christian ministry, diversity in ministry, and how that all of us, even though we're all filled with the Holy Ghost, we all have different roles, responsibilities, and we have different ways that we contribute to the work of God, and particularly to the edification of the body. You're not me and I'm not you. And there are things that you can do and do well, but those same things may not be easy for me to do. And if you go to a business, a place of business or a factory, I used to work at a mobile home factory, and we had the welding shop where they welded the frame together and they put the wheels on. You know about welding. And it was a hot job. I mean, they had to wear masks to protect their eyes. So there's also proper gear in certain jobs, and even in ministry. And so it would move from the welding shop to the area where they would begin to put in the electrical and some of the plumbing. And then they would put the floor on top of that, and then it would move to the next station. And then to the next, and then to the next. And by the end of the day, you'd have an entire home. You'd have an entire home completely built from beginning to end. I mean, it was just a wonderful thing to behold the finished product and realize that this was not accomplished by one man. Now, it may have been in the mind of one man who envisioned it. You have the engineer and the architect, but then you have those who labor. Someone say, I'm a laborer. You have those that execute and employ and make the dream happen, make it a reality. And the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. Someone say, he's the builder. Amen. He's the designer. He's the engineer, the architect. And guess what? We have been called to labor with him in this great work that God has been doing a long time. And he said, I'm going to build it on this revelation, the revelation of who I am. Upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. And so I've learned that I can't do it all. I can't do everything, Greg. I just can't. I can use a hammer. I can do, I can work on drywall. I can do a little painting. In fact, I can do a little electrical work. I used to be over an electrical department. I was like the assistant supervisor, the team leader. But, you know, the more I labored, the more exposure and the more experience I got a lot of experience. And then it got to the point where, because I had been there so long, they would send me to other departments, and they would say, hey, could you help this department today because they're short? And so I said, well, I guess I will. And so I would go over there and begin either working on floors or working on something else that I wasn't used to working on. And long story short, I became what you would call, at least on my job, a floater or a utility man. In other words, I became an individual that could work in any department and do a pretty decent job. And now that I think of it, I believe there's a reason for that. And I see something very similar in my Christian life and in Christian ministry, that God has sent me and appointed me to do a variety of things. And now I can be an usher. I can be a song leader. I could be a teacher. I could be an armor bearer. Or I could be an amen corner. God has given me many assignments through ministry leaders. And it's given me a lot of experience. A lot of experience. Are you following me? Is this making any kind of sense? And sometimes I say within myself, why me? You know, I complained one time. Well, probably more than once. It was just my flesh, you know. My flesh was just uncomfortable, and I wanted to do something else, and I couldn't have my way. And you know how we are. We kind of pout when we don't get our way. And so that's how things go in our flesh and in our humanity and our carnal mind and so forth. But we've got to submit that to God. But there was times where I would say within myself, why can't they send Brother Luma? He's full of faith and power. Why can't they send him? Why do they got to send me? You know, this is, they've given up on this situation. They've given up on this lady. She's been in the hospital, been on, you know, the machine keeping her alive. Why would they send me? I was complaining one time, and Brother Kleinitz was here. And he kind of reprimanded me and rebuked me a little bit, you know. And he says, son, this is the will of God for your life. God is trying to perfect a gift in you. So you need to keep going and keep doing, regardless of what your flesh or your mind has to say, your carnal mind. You see, when you receive the Spirit of God, your carnal mind isn't automatically conquered. It's just not. How many knows by experience what I'm talking about? That's right. But we've got to give ourselves to the Lord. The Bible says there are some things that we put off and there are some things that we put on. There are some things that we mortify and crucify. And there's other things that we have to embrace. And you're going to learn that if you're going to walk with God and be effective in ministry, that you just you have to accept it, that you just can't have your way and be pleasing to the Lord. Am I saying some things that make sense to you? Okay, I'm going to get to the scripture here in a minute. Diversities, there it is. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, I've seen different administrations. I've seen the manifestation of the Spirit observed, perceived, and seen the result of the manifestation of the Spirit of God upon the people or in a service or in a particular situation. But yet, administration may vary from person to person. You may just point and speak the word, and it happened. The other may have another administration. The way that, whether it be a healing or whatever, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. If you notice, even among, you know, the men that we consider or women that we consider gifted, some of them just are different, have different administrations. But someone say it's the same source of power and same source of knowledge from the Lord. Diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. We don't all do the same things the same way. There are diversities of operations. Everybody say operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Everybody said to every man. To profit who? To profit withal. All right. God doesn't bless and manifest and give you a gift so that you can look good. But he gives it to you to profit withal. There's always a reason why God gifts and calls and equips people for particular ministry. And we have to realize that, because what I have discovered as a child of God is that the enemy also pays attention to your gifting. The enemy pays attention to your particular gifting. And just like we have angels that are assigned to us by God, maybe more than one angel, sometimes a host. But also, I believe that the enemy, that our adversary, makes it his business to also send spirits and assign them to you. And they watch your behavior. They know your strengths and your weaknesses. They watch you as you function in ministry. And I've discovered that sometimes the enemy will actually come to you even after you've ministered, and he will pat you on the back and say, "Attaboy, that was powerful. You are mightily used by God." The enemy will do this too. And sometimes the enemy will actually reinforce and support certain behavior and certain attitudes. Are you hearing me? Someone say, "He does work among the gifted." Because we have to understand that before the enemy rebelled, pride was found in his heart. And he's been working with man quite a while, the enemy has. And he knows where pride will lead. He knows where pride leads. And so he wants to cause you to be lifted up in pride, because he's been reading the Bible. He's been searching the scriptures. He's been studying. He knows that pride always goes before fall. And so he'll pat you on the back. In fact, he will reinforce some of the things that you believe. That's right. As long as he knows that you won't go any further in your faith and your knowledge and in your intimacy with God. Because the enemy is a very religious devil. Very religious. Someone say, "He's very religious." The religions of the world. Now, the religion that we are in, according to Scripture, is not of this world. But it's manifest in this world, but it's not of it. Someone say, "Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless." Is that what the Bible says? "And the widows in their affliction." But it doesn't stop there. It says, "And to keep himself unspotted from the world." All right. This is a kind of a shotgun message. It's not one of those 30-06 where you just fire and it. This is a shotgun message. We have a variety here today. We have people on different levels, I see some age difference. Some's been in the church 5 years or less. Some's been in 10 years and longer. So this is a little shotgun lesson here, and hopefully something will register with you. Lord, help me. It is very important that you and I understand who we are. That we have a true knowledge of who we are. That not only do we accept the call of God and the truth of God, But we also understand what we're made of. We know our strengths, we know our weaknesses. We know our liberties and we know our limits. Very important for you to know who you are. Is that all right? What you're capable of doing, what you're not capable of doing. Very important. Very important. Because sometimes we will take upon ourselves certain duties. We'll choose to do certain things, even in ministry, simply because we heard that this works. We heard that this works. We heard that this is effective. And so we'll start trying to do that ourselves. And then over a period of time, we're so frustrated and so uncomfortable, but yet we're still beating away. We're still hammering away, trying to accomplish what we've set out to accomplish. And not even taking into consideration, what does God say? What has God actually called me to do? Because when you try to do something, either before the time or do something that you're not even called to do, you're going to find yourself very, very frustrated. And what can happen if you don't bring that into subjection to God, then you can find yourself becoming a contentious individual and a man of strife. Are you hearing me? How do you know that, Brother Sapp? Well, because I've experienced it. And I've observed through the years. And I've seen people try to do things that God never called or asked them to do. But it was a good idea. But there's always a difference between what you generate and what God comes up with. Okay? There's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. And we know we do a lot of things according to what we think. What we think. Not always what God thinks. And so if we're going to be used of God effectively, we have to learn to submit every fiber of our being to God. Because the longer or the more you're submitted to God, the more you will begin to understand your call, your ministry, your function, your role, and what it is you're supposed to do to contribute to the work of God, to the edification of the body. And therefore, you won't burn out. Sometimes we burn out, and I think I've mentioned this a month or two ago. Sometimes it's likely, in fact, that you burn out before you reach your destination simply because you have taken on all these assignments and not realizing that God has a big body. God has a big body. He don't just have a right arm. He's got a left arm. He don't just have a right leg. He got a left leg. And five toes on one foot and five toes on the other. And a left hand that has five and a right hand that has five. Hello. And I'm not a finger. I'm not even a toe. Because God's body is so big, I'm just a cell. I'm just a cell. Yeah, if that. So I'm hoping that you are grasping something, because I do believe that the Holy Ghost is speaking to our hearts today, and he is wanting us to have understanding. Colossians chapter number 1 verses 9 and 10, the man of God is praying that the children of God would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. It didn't stop there. He says, in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. And if that's going to be a reality, we have to walk in submission. If you don't walk in submission, you might be born into the kingdom of God as a sheep, but because of lack of submission, you end up taking on a goat attitude. A sheep is just a grazer. But the goat is totally different. He's got hair. He's got teeth. He's got hooves. He's got four legs. Pretty similar as far as the features, but the attitude's different. And so we have to be careful as Christian men and women of God that we don't take on a goat spirit, a goat attitude. Because what the goat does is he just, they label the goats. See, sheep is called a grazer, but technically the goat is called something else. You have to look it up if you have a Google. I don't know if we get reception in here, but they're investigators. That's what goats are. Goats always investigating. They're never content to just graze. They're experimental. I mean, they'll eat plastic. They'll eat fabric. They'll eat anything. Obviously, they got a strong digestive system. And they're great climbers. Always trying to climb to higher places. But you know, it's the opposite. If you walk with God, you don't have to climb to higher places. He will take you to higher places. So the principle is you humble yourself and God will lift you up. You don't have to climb like a goat to higher places. You can just learn to be content in Him. And it doesn't matter if you're in a valley or on the mountain. Amen. If I'm in the valley, He led me there. If I'm on the mountain, He led me there. Hello. Praise God. And there's something to be accomplished either in me or through me, whether I'm in the valley or on the mountain. God's trying to accomplish some things. My Lord, let's just praise the Lord for a moment. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your word today. Hallelujah. And we have to learn also the timing of God, particularly in the work that needs to be done. There was a certain time where Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. That was in a certain time. Because like children, I have a couple, and I know a couple, and you have some. Like children, we try to get ahead. We try to get there before we're actually led there. Is this making sense to you? Don't fall asleep. I believe these things are helpful. They're healthy. They're helpful. Brother Luma has certain gifts working in him. Sometimes those same gifts work in me, but not most of the time. He has some gifts of the Spirit that work in him, and he yields to those gifts so that there is proper operation and administration. And there are things that work in you, and I've mentioned this earlier, but I believe we're going somewhere. And so what I'm realizing, brothers and sisters, is that there is a time and a place for all things. There is a time and a place for all things. And there is a time where you withhold and you exercise restraint, not by natural intelligence, but by the wisdom of God, which is profitable to direct. Not only does He direct your going, but He also directs your stopping and standing still. Hallelujah. But this is what I've realized is that if we're not careful, we could be so zealous that we don't take time to seek the wisdom of God. I remember when I was a new convert, I was going to say I remember when I was young, but I'm still young. I'll just be 42 here in about a month. So I'm still a 42-year-old. What do you call it, a whippersnapper or just a young lad? What's your terminology? A youngster? Praise God. Amen. Hey, that's my elder right there. I got good elders that look out for these youngsters. Amen. Amen. What was I saying? Can you help me? What was I saying before I went to the... Oh, yeah, when I was a new Christian, I'm watching the time. I would go out. I'm telling you, I had so much zeal. I had so much zeal. I'd go anywhere. Based on my ideas and my thoughts. And I hadn't learned how to submit to the wisdom of God. And a lot of times the wisdom of God will actually come through your God-set eldership. Does that make sense? Because if God is going to entrust you personally to be able to deposit or impart this wisdom into you as an individual, then you're going to have to be tried a little bit and tested. Because there are some things that God will not give to you personally to be resident in you until a certain time. Because you may use it for your own glory and for your own benefit and for your own fame. And God doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to develop you. And so as a young convert, I would go places and do things, and I just full of zeal. But my pastor had to sit me down, not from, you know, being a Christian or going out and, you know, speaking to people about the Lord. He had to sit me down and say, Brother Luma, Brother Sapp, don't, now you may have heard of this, don't let your zeal eat up your wisdom. Now, I may not be saying that exactly right. I didn't say that right. Does that make sense? Don't make a lot of sense, but anyway, I'm trying to get the gist of what he was saying. Basically, how I interpreted that, and I may have misquoted what he stated, but what he was saying was, your zeal is awesome, but you need to balance that zeal with the wisdom of God, lest you become destructive and you become more of a hindrance and you end up misrepresenting the character of Jesus Christ, the reputation, his name, and driving people away rather than causing people to reach to know Jesus Christ. Why am I saying these things? Because we're all called. I'm talking to the church now. I'm talking to the body of Christ. You've been born of the water and the Spirit, and you are now in the body. And I believe the reason these things are being spoken to us today is because we need to understand ourselves. We need to understand things about ourselves, who we are in God, and realize that I just can't do anything that I want to do, that I have to wait till the appointed time. According to what? According to the wisdom of God. And we have to also learn in ministry that God has methods. And you caught that a few weeks ago, we were talking. I was talking about the wisdom of God. It's not only knowing the will of God, but it's also learning to do the will of God God's way. Huh? Because you can take a scripture here and you can say, oh yeah, that's the will of God. And you just go just on that knowledge alone. It's the will of God, so I'm just going to do it. I'm called to Africa. I'm called to Zimbabwe. But listen, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Safety. Who are those counselors? The people that God has set in your life. God didn't call me to be a lone ranger. And you're not called to be a lone ranger either. So what do we do? And I'm getting a checkup, someone say, from the neck up. Because I'm a part of a big body, a corporate body, a collective body. And there's a lot of things that God is trying to accomplish, but he's not trying to accomplish all those things through one person. But you have your part. You have your part. You have your part. There's things that you must do, because if you don't do your part, it affects the other part. So God's working in the midst of us all. So I'm telling you that on a daily basis, you can be sensitive and submitted to God and be mightily used of God everywhere. Someone say, I can be used of God everywhere, anywhere, at any time. And sometimes you may think it's just little, just insignificant, and not even necessary. But I'm telling you, every step that Jesus took in his humanity was ordered of God. Every step was ordered of God, deity. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Hello? I believe that we can be Spirit-led every single day. Led of the Spirit. Taught of the Spirit. Moved by the Spirit. Because the Spirit dwells in us if we have the Holy Ghost. So if he's living in us, why not get in tune with him? Why not get in touch with him? How many's ever been in a house, sometimes maybe in your own house, and you felt like nobody was paying you no mind? My own family ain't paying me no attention. I know my English isn't proper at this time. They're not paying me no mind. They're just ignoring me. They don't appreciate me. They don't love me. I told my kids one time, or maybe twice, I said, you guys, you don't even love me. You don't appreciate me. You just want me for my stuff. you just want me because, you know, I got keys to the refrigerator, you know, so to speak. You know, I got a little money every once in a while. So you don't love me for me. Well, that's how we are in the church. We just love him for his stuff. But as you continue walking with him, you get to know him. And the more you know him, the more you love him. And the more you love him as a result, the more obedient you will be in your daily life. And you will fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ in your particular part, call, role, responsibility. Amen. Is this making sense? All right. If it doesn't, you can come to me after service. I didn't understand a word you just said. So, Greg, where's Greg at? One or two things, huh? Just tell me. Have you received one thing or at least two? At least two. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. For to one is given by the same Spirit the word of wisdom. To another who? Another individual. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another. Notice he's saying to another. To another. To another. To another. To another. This is God's business. It's God working in our midst. It's God pouring out. It's God appointing. It's God assigning. It's God imparting and giving gifts. Let me close here. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing, everybody say, to every man severally. As who will? As he will. Listen, It's all right to desire spiritual gifts because the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. It doesn't say seek spiritual gifts. It says desire spiritual gifts, but follow after charity. That's the priority. You desire spiritual gifts, but what do you follow? You follow charity. Because if you walk in the dimension of perfect love, all the gifts work. And they can all work, perhaps even in a single individual, based on the call of God that is upon your life. And wherever you can be in a situation where there's present needs, that they need a word of knowledge, they need a word of wisdom, they need something else, a healing, a miracle. So don't limit God in your life. Realize that God can do anything he wants to do at any time. Amen. He can even do something in us that he's never done before. So that's why it's important to stay yielded, submitted to God. That's probably the most difficult part, because no one person in here likes to be lorded over. In our nature, in our fallen nature, we like to be Lord, don't we? We like to call the shots. We like to determine the schedule. But if you're going to be effective as a Christian and in ministry in your world, on your job, in your home, we have to master submission. It's not your way or the highway. It's his way, and that's it. It's his way or no way, because he is the way. I had a lot of stuff here I thought we were going to get, but we don't have a lot of time. You know, I'd love to have a session where we could just take questions and try to answer questions. And I kind of like that Jesus-style ministry. Just sit down on a boat. Just sit down on a boat with a pole hanging out the side, you know, and answer a few questions. And then if we get a bite, we'll just kind of reel it in real quick, and then we'll continue the conversation. So maybe we'll be able to work that out sometime. I want you to raise your hands to the Lord. I want you to say, I am called of God. I am called of God. If you know you got the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to say, I'm anointed of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm anointed of God. And therefore, I can be used of God. Anywhere, everywhere, I am his child. I will yield to his authority. In Jesus' name. Let's worship him. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everywhere, anywhere, anytime. Praise God. We can be sensitive and walk and be led of the Spirit and do the will of God. God bless you. Take a few minutes to refresh yourselves. Shake hands. Greet Brother Dwight. God bless you. Brother Dwight Williamson. Been baptized about, what, a month now and been here every service. God bless you. Amen. We're going to begin our main service here in just a few moments.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet and just find two or three people around you and just kind of tell them, hey, it's good to see you. Glad you're in church with us today. Come to have a good time. Come to praise the Lord, magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come to give Jesus our worship.